Kings chapter 4. Good morning, everybody. Y'all all right? I like having my youth over here because I can give high fives and stuff right before service. Some of y'all probably see that and think, what are you doing? I'm just a big kid at heart, so I like having kids and young people around me, especially this group over here in that area. God's doing something big in their lives. Y'all believe that? I hope he catches him on fire and then we get so jealous that we'd want some of that fire. And next thing you know, Soddy Daisy, Dunlap, Sail Creek will just catch on fire with the Lord. Amen? That's the kind of stuff. I want you to know where you're sitting at this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. You've been prayed for this morning. Amen? So mind the Lord. If you feel the Lord moving on you, don't wait. Come. If the Lord challenges you this morning, good. Amen. This is a challenging word. Tonight, I encourage you to, I know some of y'all serve in Awana. Make sure you check out the recording tonight. If you during the week, we're gonna preach a message that we're gonna preach last Sunday, but it's gonna be beneficial to the church. So I'd encourage you to go and listen to that during this week. We'll preach that tonight, and if you can be here, be here. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for a healing in this room, mind, body, and spirit. We pray. For this to be effective time, that you will affect hearts, be effective in the speaking. Lord, let me decrease as you increase. God, remove me, hide me behind the cross, and let me preach for you. God, I pray for salvation to come to those that are lost, and encouragement to come to the Christian, that you would set them a sail for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now, there cried a certain woman. Are y'all seeing that? Is that what everybody else is seeing in here if you got your Bibles open? Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, the servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, the handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Just a pot of oil. This is how God works. This is how God operates through people. This is how God moves among people. The mother had a desperate situation. The boys had a desperate situation. And the father was a priest who passed on. Is there any mothers in here? Any women in here who have some issues at home? Let me see if I can see her issues. She's got a marital issue. She's lost her husband. She's got some children issues. Her sons are about to be taken into slavery. She's got some financial issues. She has no ways of paying off the creditor. And you know what? She is a wreck. But you know what she does? She finds a prophet. Back then, that's how you spoke to God. That's how you came to God. You found a prophet. See, we live in under grace and after Jesus came. We don't have to find a prophet, a preacher, a pastor, a deacon, a councilman. We just have to bombard heaven with our prayers. We have the person of Jesus Christ to call upon. But I love when she had all of her problems, she went to the right person. Some of you have all of your problems, you're just going to the wrong person. You're going to the wrong people. You're talking to the wrong people. You've talked to everybody, but you ain't talked to God. And guess what? Can I say it this way and say it boldly? She said it in a way that it made sense. She's sowing in tears where she may reap in joy. Some of you need to get serious with God and sow in tears. Amen? When's the last time your kids have seen you cry and pray over them? Amen? Some of you wives and some of you women today are looking at me and going, man, preacher, you're killing us this morning. Well, men, buckle up. I'm coming to you next. Amen? And guess what? They had a problem. And guess what? The man of God, this is just how God is. I can't explain His character, but He asked all the right questions at seemingly all the wrong times. Did y'all get that? I'll let it sink in. He asked all the right questions seemingly, comma, right, at the wrong times. She comes and says, I need a miracle. I need God. I need Him to intervene. And what does God do? He starts off with two questions. That's God. Amen? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's God. What do you really want God to do? Some of y'all want God to be a patch. I don't know if y'all know what a patch is. I was raised up in old school times. When you had a flat tire, you put a patch on it. Amen? That was a full-time job. Amen? You had to put a couple patches on our bike tires, all right? You put a patch. God is not a patch. He's the fix. He's the new, amen? Some of y'all want a problem. Well, what do you really want God to do? Some of y'all are playing around with God. You want God to do all the stuff, but you don't want to do all the stuff that God would want you to do. You want God to show up in a miraculous time and do a miraculous thing, but yet when He says, hey, will you serve me with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love me, you say, well, God, you know, I want you just to fix the problem. What do you want? That's what he asked. What do you want? What do you want? And what do you have? What do you want? And what do you have? Wait a minute. How many of y'all think sometimes that God hasn't given you all the stuff you need to really serve Him right? Be honest. Guess what? You got everything you need. He said, what's in the house? What's in the house? Not what's out there somewhere that you're not qualified, that you don't have, that you can't obtain. No, what's in there? What's in there? Amen? Ain't that neat? Because I see this from, I'm going to take some liberty. I see it from two points of view. I see it from two boys, and I'll just say the two boys don't know God. Okay, it's just a liberty. I'm just taking liberty. And they don't know God, and they're sitting there going, man, we don't have no chance of getting out of here. We don't have no chance in this world. We're going to be slaves. Dad's died and left us in debt. Dad's died and left us the sin. Guess what? The sin debt remains, don't it? It's out there. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. You can be as holy as you want to be. And that don't mean it's going to pass down to your family. It helps, but it don't mean it's going to. Because they have to choose. And them boys couldn't see it. They're sitting there going, man, we're doomed to go down the same path that the rest of the world's going. And the wife, let's just say she is a believer, but she's in the same boat they're in. I believe in God, but guess what? I don't see how He's going to get us out of this trouble. You can be a lost person sitting here this morning and you don't see a way out. You can be a saved person this morning sitting in the very same church and still not seeing a way out. But God says, what do you got in there? I love her answer. Look in verse 3. No, it's in verse 2. The handmaid says, not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Golly, I just want to make the title of this sermon, Daddy Left Some Oil. Amen? Daddy Left Some Oil. I wonder how many times they walked in and out. Now listen, y'all might not like the way I think. I think of stuff in pictures. I just see a little bitty small vessel of oil sitting on the back eye of a stove. Now listen, if that ain't your thing, don't go home and say, that wasn't in the Bible. That's just the way I see it, okay? You put it on the fireplace. You put it in a corner of the house. You put it in your, I don't care where you put it. I just see it this way. I just see a little old pot of oil sitting on this little simmer now, and it's just sitting there, and it's got a lid on it, and everybody in the house knows it's there. Amen? Everybody in the house knows it's there. And I see the wife passing by every once in a while, and she'll see the pot of oil. And it reminds her of her husband, but it doesn't remind her of God. And she looks at it and goes, man, that's all he left. I wished he was still here. I wish I could hear him do this. I wish he could get a job. I wish he could pay. I wish he hadn't left this debt. I wish I got all these problems. And you know what? I don't got no answer. I wonder how many times she walked by and that little pot of oil was sitting there and she never thought of even thinking about touching it. But when the man of God asked her, do you have anything? You know what? We got nothing. Golly, we got nothing. Well, except a little pot of oil in there. It ain't running out, but it ain't running over. Amen? It ain't all the way up to the brim, but it ain't at the bottom. My husband left us a little pot of oil. I can see the boys. I can see them. Maybe trying on daddy's shoes, or maybe it's too big. Shoes too big. Can't feel them. Sitting there going, man, he didn't leave us nothing but debt. He didn't leave us anything but trouble. Well, there's that pot of oil in there. That ain't worth nothing. That ain't worth nothing. Amen? I was thinking today, as I was going, if you, a man of God, if you're a man in this house and you're a father, I want to ask you something. What are you going to leave your kids? If God was to take you home and take you into heaven, what are you going to leave your kids? And I thought some of them, man, I guarantee there's going to be some of you in here. I left them a work ethic. That's good. I left them the ability to fish. That's all right. It's all right with fishing. Amen. I taught them how to hunt and put food in the freezer. Amen. I taught them how to earn. I was a good man. Amen. That's good. All that good. But let me ask you this. Are you going to leave them a godly legacy? Is your kids, is it woven in to them that you're a godly man? Are you going to, let me ask you this, let me just be plain. Are you going to leave anything like Jesus back for your kids? Are you going to leave some oil? Oil always represents the Holy Spirit. Are you going to leave anything that lasts past this world to your kids? Because guess what? He left them a pot of oil. I wonder why you're working. Listen, I'm just being honest with you. I teach your kids to work. It's important. We got a generation coming that don't believe you should work. But tell them they need to work. And tell them there ain't nothing wrong with sweat, calluses. There ain't nothing wrong with staying longer than everybody. And there ain't nothing wrong with showing up earlier than everybody else. I finally got a couple amens out of some of you. Amen? That's all right. But I want to say this. While you're telling them they should work hard and tell them why they should work hard and why there's nothing wrong with a good hard day's work, tell them this. Without God's grace, we can't work. If God didn't give us the strength and the ability, the talent and the boots and the straps to pull the boots up, then we wouldn't have anything. God's good. I'm preaching. Y'all go ahead. I might just wait and see if the Lord will show up right here. If you're going to teach them to fish, that's all right. But praise God, while you're working the hook and while you're tying the knot and when you're putting the sinker on, tell them this. God is also a fisher of men. He's also a fisher of men. Let me tell you something. Don't always worry about making the big catch and leaving the biggest catch left out there. That's a lost and dying world. Fish on days that you can fish, but also fish for people in this world who are lost and undone. And hunting's good too. I like hunting, amen, because I like to eat, amen. But I want to tell you this. Tell some of them sometimes, you say, how can you work hunting in? I can work about 10 different hunting messages in. But if you're hunting deer and it is about deer season, tell them something like this. Baby, little girl, little son who's hunting, you see these deer we're hunting out here. We're running them. We're slaying them. We're running them through the woods like they're crazy. But you know what? Some of these deer are going to survive unless they run by Derek's stand. Some of these deer are going to survive. They're going to make a run for their lives. And the Bible says it this way. As the deer panteth at the brook. Whew. No, y'all ain't got it yet. It ain't seeped in. If somebody hunted you all day long and you ran up hills and down hills and jumped over fences and crawled over stuff and you finally got to a point in the day where you wasn't thinking you was going to get shot. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. All of a sudden, the thought run across your head. There is a cool brook just yonder way. I'm going to get me a drink because I've ran for my life and I'm thirsty. This is what you need to tell them kids. One day, you need to be thirsty after Jesus like that deer has been running for his life. Because every once in a while, I get thirsty for Jesus. And like that deer that's been running for his life, I got to go to the cool brooks of Jesus, amen, and get me a drink, amen. He said, there's just a pot of oil, and I can see them kids walking by it. It ain't nothing. Daddy didn't leave us nothing, but Daddy left them everything, amen. If you leave a legacy of Jesus, you've left your generations everything they need to get to heaven. I hope you're doing that. I love it. Save a pot of oil. Then he said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors and empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Jesus took the thing that was in the house that they didn't even recognize and used that. God doesn't need you to be a superhero. He needs you to be you. He needs you to be you with the Holy Spirit in you. He said, we ain't got nothing but a pot of oil. Go get the oil. Come on, that's cool. We ain't got nothing save a pot of oil. Okay, go get the oil. I ain't got nothing, Lord, but I'm just got a little bit. Go get that. I ain't got nothing but what's left over, Lord. I got a little bit of sanity left. A little bit of life left. A little bit of time left. Go get that. Amen? Hey, could you imagine that? Everything you need to save your boys and to save you is in that house. Go get that. Everything God wants to do is in you. Amen? Everything God wants to do in your life is in you. We think it's something out there. Something way out there. God, is there anything too hard for God? Okay, I thought y'all got that right. Is there anything impossible for God to do? Why don't you think that way when it comes to what God wants you to do for Him? If you'll get lined up with what God wants to do in your life and serve Him that way. What did He say? Guess what wasn't in there? The vessels that had to be full. They had the oil, but they didn't have the vessels. God always has to use your faith to go along with your calling. Amen? The oil was there, but they said, now go into all your neighbors and go get the vessels. Listen, you can have all the Jesus you can handle. You can have all the special you can hold. But praise God, if you leave it inside the house, it ain't going to help nobody. You got to get outside the four walls of your home and your church and tell people there's something better to this life than just living for you. There's Jesus in Him crucified. There is a life beyond this life. There is a hope beyond your hope. Praise God. They left. I love it. Praise God. They said, you got to go to your... And they went out and it said they didn't borrow a few. They went to listen, this is so good. I wish y'all would let me preach this morning. He said they went to the neighbor's house, knocked on the door, said, hey, we need your vessels. I bet some of them said, we only got small vessels. That's all right. We only got teacups. Bring the teacups. Amen? Some of y'all think y'all too small. God don't care. He didn't say, go ask for the big vessels. He said, go ask for the vessels. And then some people came out there and they had, I can't preach it like this. Some of them brought some crack pots. Some of y'all, some crack pots. I ain't going to look at nobody. Ain't the prettiest vessel on the outside, but can still hold Jesus on the inside? Is there anybody in here that you ain't perfect on that? Maybe you got some scars, some wounds, and some hurts on the outside, but your contents is willing to be full? Man, I guarantee they went to that one neighbor and they didn't want to knock on the door. They went, Kevin, you know what I'm talking about. They want, even while they were walking up there, they're thinking, man, their dog's probably going to bite me. They probably won't answer. Man, and I don't even know if it's going to be sanitary. I think they have cats. I know, I went there. I'm sorry. All you cat lovers, meet me after church. We'll have a moment. I like cats. I tolerate cats. All right. But they go to the door. And they say, oh, we need some vessels. Ain't you always amazed at the people you don't think needs it? The people that won't deliver will deliver. The people you kind of wrote off. Next thing you know, they brought, hey, we ain't, God, I'm preaching to somebody. We don't have any fancy vessels, but what we do have is Daddy saved up some 50-gallon drums and some big buckets. Well, when I came here, I thought we was going to get some ugly jars and stuff, but they started rolling out 50-gallon drums. Amen? And you can fill them up. Amen? Some of the people that will come and be a part of your life, you don't think they're who they you kind of write them off before, but then you look down the road 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you say, my God, I'm glad God brought them into my life. I'm glad that I didn't write them off. Amen? And then sometimes you'll go, man, oh, I'm going to go ahead and keep preaching. Then you'll come up to somehow and you'll say, oh, looky here. Man, these people right here got more vessels than they. Man, they will be. This will be extravagant. If nothing else, just the appearance of the very vessel that they give us will be worth so much. We can't afford to give you any vessels at this time. God, I'm preaching to somebody. You ever been to the people you thought was going to help you? You thought was going to be the help. You thought those were going to be the ones that's going to rescue you. You thought they were going to be the ones who would give you the big help and the big push. And what they did is they went, I'm sorry, we gave already. We'll pray for you. Please don't walk through the yard as you leave. We was just down in the hard part of town and got 50-gallon drums. Oh, never. You'll think about that kind of stuff one day. And they brought all the vessels. This gets good. Y'all ready? Are y'all still alive? Man, I think three of you are still breathing, and two of you need a mirror up under you to make sure. Amen? And when thou art come out, thou shalt shut the door. Amen? Look at this. Thou shalt shut the door upon thy sons, and shalt pour out all into the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Hey, can I tell you this? Let's go back. I don't want to rush through this. I want you to get this. Go to everybody, rich, poor, and everybody in between. Who cares what they give you or don't give you? But praise God. If they listen to you or don't listen to you, it's fine. Go to everybody. Amen? Get rejected a bunch. It'll make you a better Christian. Whew, sorry. It's true. Amen? Get rejected a bunch. Because when you don't get rejected, it'll set your world on fire. Amen? He said, go in there and get as many vessels as you can and then fill them up and set the ones that are full aside. This, y'all help me preach. Praise God. They were sitting in there. Can y'all see it yet? They walked in and shut the door. Sometimes you got to shut the door where negativity won't creep in. You got to shut the door where somebody they don't believe won't get in. They went in and they shut the door behind them and they started pouring oil. God, some of y'all need to learn how to pour oil. You're saved as you can be. You got a testimony. I got saved when I was 7, 8, 9, whenever it was. But praise God, you've never poured your oil into somebody else's container. They shut the door and they said, this is going to look foolish to everybody else. Because guess what? They could see the vessel. They could see the contents. And they could see they had more vessels and more empty space than they had oil. So they thought. Maybe they started out with the teacups. Well, that's filling up ever so nicely. And then maybe some cans. Amen. All right. Since this is pretty cool. This is getting excited, Otis. Hey, go in there and get me one of them big old salad bowls that they gave us over there at that one house. Okay. Hey, you're not going to believe this. I wonder what them brothers were saying. And that, I bet that mom's eyes were just, Daddy left us some oil. Daddy left us. I bet they're like, praise God, Daddy left that oil. We didn't think he'd left nothing, but now that we need it, that thing, he sat there and read his Bible. He sat there and prayed. He preached. He done without. Praise God. People made fun of him. People made fun of us. But praise God, they ain't making fun no more. I wonder if, I know, I'm taking liberty right here. I know that. Don't get mad at me. So, hey, go out there and grab one of them 50-gallon barrels. I just want to see it. We're taking this and filling up that. And this is good. Amen? Now listen. This is what faith is. This is what being a Christian's all about. I don't know if you know this, but there is no better feeling other than salvation than taking what you have and pouring it into somebody else and seeing them get full and doing what they're called to do. I don't even like, I'm being honest with you. If I can see somebody now get it, it's exciting when I see some people get it, when I see them get it, when I see them get it, when I see them really get it, praise God. And I know I've just poured in a little in their life. Praise God, I don't ever get excited what God's doing in my life hardly anymore. I'm just glad when I poured into them and then just watch them go. I like to see somebody you poured into, and then it's awesome when you see them take what they have and pour into somebody else. I got it. You get it. Amen. But you know what? I always like that when it says they shut the door. You know why? The door always represents Christ. You got to come through the door of Christ. You got to shut the door on the world sometimes. And you got to do business with God. Amen. Sometimes all alone. Amen. No, can I say that again? Not so, a lot of times, all alone. Some of y'all are waiting for a big crowd of people to go with you. I think the song says it best, even none that none go with me. Are you going to serve God anyway? What if nobody shows up? Have a time with God. But the best times I've ever spent with God has been all alone. Has been when I've shut the door and got serious with Him. Y'all ready to finish this thing up? Watch it. Oh, it gets so good. I love this kind of stuff. They went and shut the door and upon the vessels to her, and she poured out, verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her sons, bring me yet the vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. Look at this, verse 6 at the very end. Look at it with me. And the oil stayed. Or the oil stopped. When would the oil stop? When the last vessel is full. Amen? When the last vessel is full is when the oil runs out. When the last person says, I want Jesus, the oil will stop and God will return. Amen? Y'all good? And when will your work end? When the last vessel that you're supposed to pour into gets filled up. And God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. The oil stopped for you. I want you to come home. Y'all want to end on a good one? Y'all want to say something pretty cool? Because that ain't the end. That ain't the end of it. Here's the end of it. Look at this right here. Then she came and told the man of God. Whew, glory, glory, glory. And he said, go sell the oil, amen, and pay the debt, and live thou and the children on the rest. I'm in the midst of living the rest. Are you? See, Jesus paid the sin debt, right? He paid the sin debt, and he said, your account is settled in heaven. Amen? And guess what? You can live on the rest. I thought people would be shouting at that point. I did. I mean, praise God. Jesus didn't just save you to get you to heaven. He saved you for you can live on Him as well. I'll give you this last part. Let's all stand as they come and get a song. Listen, I want y'all to get this. There was a time where there was this man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got beaten and robbed. Y'all remember? It was a big descent, and there's some thieves. There's a rough road. Anybody run a rough road before? I have. And the devil jumped him. And the devil left him half dead. Ain't that what it says, the half dead? You know, everybody in here at one time in your life was half dead. You were physically alive but spiritually dead. And then there was a Samaritan. The church came by and looked at him. The law came and looked at him real close and passed by on the other side. And the good Samaritan, representing Jesus, came and bound up his wounds. Hallelujah. And carried him. Anybody else? Anybody in here been bound up? Your wounds? If you got some wounds, God will heal them. And he carried him to what? An inn? Y'all remember? Took him to an inn and cared for him. And went to the owner of the inn and said, I want to pay everything he owes. Right? Y'all good? Here's payment for this person who was half dead. And I'm gonna pay for him to stay. Yuck. But anything that he owes more, golly bum, I'll come and pay that too. Golly bum. Anything that's outstanding, golly bum. Y'all ain't a shouting bunch this morning. That's all right, I guess. But I want y'all to, y'all get this. Get this before you leave. Jesus saved you to get you to heaven. But he wants you to live too. Golly, and listen, if there's anything left over that don't seem, golly bum, if there's something that's left over that don't seem paid, Chris, it's paid too. I must be the only one that lives like this. Have you ever felt like, golly bum, Jesus, you saved me. You restored me. You gave me heaven. And sometimes I'm still not worthy. I want to tell you this. Guess what? If there's anything else outstanding, when I return, I'll pay that too.
Yes,
some of y'all need to hear that. Jesus paid it all. That oil was good enough for the temporal problem and the eternal problem. Let me break it down the simplest way. Jesus is good enough for your temporal problem and your eternal problem. Amen? Get your eternal problem fixed and he'll fix. Some of y'all don't believe what I'm saying. He can't fix my issues. You don't know what's going on at my house right now. God's got an amazing way of changing one person and then changing a whole house. Is there anybody in here can testify to that?
Yes, amen.
When God came to your house, you didn't think he was going to change everything? Mm-hmm. Can I tell y'all a funny one? 2004? Here's what I told my wife. Don't worry, we're not going to get too crazy with this Christian thing. I'm standing up here. Been preaching to you for about 45 minutes. As soon as I got saved, I looked at her and said, don't worry, babe. It ain't going to get too crazy. No, it got real crazy. And it gets crazier every year. Amen? He can change a man. He can change a woman. And he can change some children. You just got to be willing to approach him and say, God, change them. And she sings, come.